Doesn't our reading we just heard set for this Sunday? We've had in the middle the second instalment of Galatians, we had the opening verses last week. And either side, we've had the Old Testament reading and the Gospel reading, which clearly as they are meant to be related to each other. So turn to those two related readings first of all. Of course, they both speak of the raising or bringing back to life of the son of a widow. And it's important to remember in that day and age the stress of the poverty of being a widow. It appeared that the one, the son of the widow, the larger effect of the life, was probably a young child. And they'd actually looking forward to him growing up, though he had to go out to work and support his elder mother, whereas the son of the widow of Nain seems to be an adult male. But the loss of a son for a widow was devastating, obviously emotionally, but also financially in that era. But in each case, God, through Elijah, through Jesus, intervenes, and the respective sons are brought back to life, are revived. And in each case also, it is recognized as being God's work. There's a sense of greatness expressed of what we might call holy fear. That's what I was stressing last Sunday about the holiness of God. Elijah is recognized by the widow as a man of God, with the word of the Lord in his mouth. And Jesus is recognized as a great prophet. Turning more detail to these two stories. Well, the Old Testament reading, rather than David explaining and talking to the children, is part of the wider story of the prophet Elijah. He mentioned the 3-year drought. And Elijah has gone out of Jewish territory. He's stayed by this widow from the Zarephath in the area of Sidon, which he obviously was a non-Jew, yet caring for a great Jewish prophet. This is one of several examples in the Old Testament where those outside of supposedly God's chosen people, Jews, are used by God. Think of the story of Ruth. She was a Moabite, yet she became the great grandmother of King David. Yes, God works through unexpected people. That's a problem we need to learn from this passage. God works through unexpected people. And sometimes it's because of the failure of those who should do God's work not doing God's work. Yes, the Jews were God's chosen people, but they were meant to reveal God to the Gentiles. But instead they tend to have the attitude that we are better than you, they would look down on the Gentiles. So instead we have a humble Gentile widow who recognizes her own failings, it's bringing my sin to remembrance. She is used by God in this story. God works through unexpected people. Our gospel story is the only record of Jesus ever visiting this place called Nain. The story itself is unique to Luke's gospel. Now Jesus' actions in the story may seem perfectly understandable to us, but of course not to Jews of that time. When, I say, when I did in the past, take a funeral, the joy of the age of both most the expats here, 7.5 years, I've been slightly 4 funerals, 1 or 2 a month, even. But at a funeral, with a coffin in church, I would, in commending the person to God, the prayer for commendation, put my hand on the coffin and commend the person to God. And Jesus, you'll notice in the story, reaches out and touches the bier, what's carrying the dead man. Of course, for a Jew to do that, probably made him ritually unclean. It's what lies behind the actions of the priest and the Levite in this parable of the Good Samaritan. They didn't want to go and help the man on the side of the road. he would prevent them from taking part in temple worship because they'd be touching a dead body. And this story is a challenge to us, it's also a challenge to us, to our instinctive religious taboos. Could we have them too? Could we let rituals for a country get in the way of doing what God really wants? Do we let rituals or assumptions get in the way of doing what God really wants? Jesus reaches out the whole in compassion. He has compassion for his people. It's so easy for our compassion to be held back because we think it shouldn't be done in this particular way, or the way that we're used to things being done. The challenge of the story is not to let things get in the way of doing what God has called us to do, and certainly reaching out in compassion towards them as fortunate from ourselves is also highly important. And so to the sandwich strategy, perhaps the regulation sandwich between those two stories. It is the second, I think, of about 5 or 6 chunks of Galatians that we'll hear over a series of weeks until early July. As I said, we had the first chunk last Sunday, and we'll have another next Sunday. Galatia, where the letter was written to, is in the middle of what is present-day Turkey. And it was written, as it usually seems it is, to the churches in the city of Antioch, Lystra, and Derbe, and Iconium, Paul visited in the second missionary journey, then it could be the earliest letter of Paul in the New Testament. It includes some very interesting background by Paul about his own experience of coming to faith. After the Damascus Road conversion, which we read about in the Acts of the Apostles, he says, "I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia." He went back off into the desert. The desert definitely, I'm not sure what he was doing, but I suggest he went off to find time and space to listen and to learn from God. He, of course, as a Jew, knew his Old Testament backwards. He could quote all the time. But after his Damascus conversion, he went, no doubt, to revisit the Old Testament and discover what it really says and not what he thought that it said. So that instead of persecuting Christian believers, as he said after him, he instead was transformed into one who proclaimed the faith. I think all of us, myself included, need sometimes to give ourselves time and space to allow God to change us. It's so easy to get caught up in the business of life, essentially. Paul went on, had this basically transforming experience, and of course then was mightily used, as we know, by God in proclaiming the Christian faith. I do like the last line of the passage that's when read to us. "And they glorified God because of me." The apostles and Christians in Judea didn't have any hard feeling or disbelief, but they praised God instead. And I think probably there's a lesson for us there. Again, when God worked through different people, and they didn't expect God to work through Paul or people, no hard feelings, but rather praise God. So this morning, what can we draw in conclusion from these three readings? Well, I believe a challenge to our normal thinking and understanding of God. Firstly, like the widow of Zarephath, God does work through unexpected people. We need to be open to seeing and expecting that can happen. Secondly, our religious rituals and assumptions can get in the way, sometimes get in the way, of us doing what God wants. And sometimes we need to allow them also to be challenged. And thirdly, our understanding of Scripture also needs sometimes to be challenged, as I'm sure some poor understanding of what the Old Testament wants. Let us give time and space for reading, for reflection. And it is rejoiced when God does the completely unexpected. Don't complain about it, but do what the Paul says those can do here. Rejoice and glorify God. So I hope we can take something from these quite disparate readings to speak to each one of us this morning, and allow God to work in new ways in and through us and through us. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.